Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Daled, and we will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, El Dvarim Asurim Lim Kalayv T'Kachavim. We are asked, till now we have been discussing the various items that one may not sell to Yaakov on their holiday, before the holiday, according to certain opinions, after the holidays. Our Mishnah now begins discussing the various items that may not be sold to Akum any time of the year. And Rishonim actually give two reasons for the basis why these items may not be sold to the Akum. One explanation that Rishonim suggest is because these items, given that they are used in the worship, in their worship, and they're not readily available, whenever the Akum is able to get his hands on these items, he uses them and puts them away to have for his worship of Avodah Zarah. One explanation that the Rishonim give. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that given that these items are used constantly, they're not just used in their holiday services, but they're used all of the time. That's why one may not sell them to the Akum. And I saw that Mefarshim explained that there's actually a nafkamina lahalocha between these two explanations of the Rishonim that we just gave. And that the nafkamina will be is if somebody indeed did sell the items that our Mishnah discusses to an Akum, what will be the halocha? Could he benefit from the proceeds? If we explain that these are items that are always used by the Akum for their Avodah Zarah, then the halacha will be that one can't sell, that one can't benefit from the proceeds. But if the concern is only that the Akum may put away these items for use when they're needed, so it's not as serious of an Isser, and therefore, if one did sell them to the Akum, he could benefit from the proceeds. So again, says the Mishnah, El Dvar Masurim Lim Kalayv T'Kachavim, the following items may not be sold to the Akum, Estabulim Ubenoy Suach, Estabulim and Benoy Suach, which the Gemara will soon explain what they are, Upetaitrois, as the Gemara explains when they have their stems on. Levina is what was used for Ketiris. Interesting to point out that the Rajab says that even though all the various items that are listed in our Mishnah were no longer used for Avodah Zarah in his time already, the time of the Rajba, and therefore may be sold to Akum, the Rajba says the Levoina remains an item in his times and perhaps even in our times that are sold to Akum for Avodah Zarah use and therefore should be treated more stringently. V'tanagol halovin, a white tarnagol, which was very common to use a white tarnagol in the worship of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, as we learn now in the Mishnah, we'll discuss in greater length in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, Chazal were particularly concerned about selling a tarnagol lovon to the Akum. In fact, there are paiskim that suggest that there is a minig of kaporis, Erev Yom Kippur, Tzeres Yimei Tshuva, and there are paiskim that wanted to suggest that that minig be abolished because it's so similar to the Chukas HaAkum, what we're learning now in our Mishnah, of that they used to use a tarnagol lovon in their Avodah Zarah. I actually saw that the Rama already says that the minig of kaporis should not be abolished. However, the Rama and all other Paiskim do suggest that one should avoid, that when one goes for kaparis, so one is looking for a chicken, he should not specifically look for a white chicken, because if he specifically looks for a white chicken, that clearly is similar to the situation discussed in our Mishnah about a tarnagol lovin, which our Mishnah teaches us the tarnagol lovin should be treated as a situation of Avodah Zarah. Rav Yehuda says, even though certainly selling him a tanagol lovin is asur, but selling him mutalimka loy tanagol lovin bein tanagolim, it was selling a a whole group of roosters, and amongst the, in the group of roosters, there is a white rooster, that's permitted. Furthermore, if somebody is selling a white rooster alone to the Akam, what he should do is cut off the finger of the rooster and thereby sell it, because, says the Mishnah, if the rooster will be missing a finger, that they won't use for Avodah Zarah, and therefore there is no concern that we're using something that may not be used for, that we're selling them something that will be used for worship of Avodah Zarah. Of course, here the Mefarshim discuss how could it be permissible to sell, to cut off the finger of this rooster. Isn't there a concern of Tsar Balechayim? So I saw that the Mefarshim explain that there is no concern of Tsar Balechayim when it's Letzairach, and here clearly it's considered a situation of Letzairach that you're selling it to be able to have the proceeds, and whenever you sell something with, for being able to have the proceeds, there is no Isser there is no isser of Tsar Baal Chaim, which, if we follow this approach, this is a discussion already in the Rishonim, if we follow this approach, the Paiskim say it will be similarly permissible to sell, to do experimentation on animals, even though we don't know if the medical experimentation will yield any positive results. Again, the issue of Tsar Baal Chaim, according to those Paiskim, doesn't exist whenever there's a possible benefit. However, there are Paiskim to take a more stringent opinion, particularly as we discussed in our previous year. There are opinions that hold that Tsar Baal Chaim is an Issa D'Raisa, and they therefore explain that when our Mishnah says koteya, that you cut off the finger, it should be done with sam. It's not done by actually just cutting off the finger, which would be painful to the animal. It's done in a non-painful manner, and therefore there is no issue of tzar baal chayim. Yet another pshat that I saw is that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the Akum is forcing the Jew to sell him this white chicken that he wants for his Avodah Zarah, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the Isser involved in selling such a chicken to an Akam is the Isser of Lifnei Ivel L'Seita Mechshol, which one isn't obligated to give up his life or even go into danger for the Isser of Lifnei Ivel L'Seita Mechshol, and therefore, given that that's the circumstance, we have a choice either to cut off the finger or get into danger. And the Mishnah is teaching us, under these circumstances, it's better just to cut off the finger and therefore avoid the problem of the Akum worshipping this animal for Avodah Zarah. V'shah called Varn, other items, stam mutter, if they're not specified, it's mutter, or perush and asr, but if it's specified, it's asr. This too will be explained in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. Rav Mei Omer and Rav Meir then also will be explained in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. Af dekel tav, v'chetzah, v'niklas, oslam kolav, v'kacham, all these different items may not be sold to an Akam. Ask the Gemara, my etzterbulim. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Mishnah spoke about not being allowed to sell etzterbulim to an Akam. Ask the Gemara, what is etzterbulim? Says the Gemara, etzterbulim is a ternesa. Ternesa is an erez, it's a type of a cedar tree. Vermini asked the Gemara, it says in a brisa regarding the halachas of Shemitah, Hasifa Aleihem, Chazal added the following items that are subject to the halachas of Shemitah. Alachsin is a type of a tree that has a very delicious fruit. Vitzterbulin, Muchsin is a B'nai Suach. The way Mefarshim explain Muxen and B'nai Suach are both in the fig family. Ask the Gemara, V'salkadaitach, Istrabulin Ternisa, if we're going to define as Istrabulin as Ternisa, asked the Gemara, Tunisa mi'isa b'shvius, are Tunisa subject to the halakas of Shemitah? V'tnan, didn't we learn in a Mishnah and a Braisa? It's actually, some say that this is a Mishnah, Zeklal, the rule regarding which produce is subject to halakas of Shemitah, and which produce are not subject to halakas of Shemitah. Says the Gemara, and we're first going to explain the Gemara as Rashi explains the Gemara. The kol sheyesh la'ikar, anything that has a root that survives through the winter, yesh la'shvius, is subject to hilchos shmita. The kol she'ein la'ikar, whatever produce doesn't have a root that survives through winter, ein la'shvius, is not subject to shmita. And now the Gemara, according to Rashi's explanation, is that a Tunisa does not have roots that survive through the winter. If so, how can we say that its Strobilin is Tunisa when we are learning that Strobilin is subject to Shemitah rule, yet its Strobilin, if it's Tunisa, is an item that doesn't have roots and therefore isn't subject to Shemitah rule? Elam Rav Safra, says Rav Safra, because of this question, that Tunisa is not the actual Erez, but it's the peri de Arza. It's the fruit of an Erez tree. The king, ki asa rov, and Amar Abelaza, peri de Arza. It's the fruit of the Erez tree. It's the fruit of a pine tree, an acorn, and therefore it's not subject to Shemitah, but it was used for Avodah Zarah. Tosfos has two very big questions on Rashi's pshat. One pshat question is, if, as Rashi explains, that Tunisa is a type of Erez, it does have roots that survive the winter. So why is the Gemara asking that if we say it's Terbelin and it's Tunisa, how is it subject to Shemitah rules? It doesn't; its roots don't survive the winter. The roots of a cedar tree survive the winter. Furthermore, Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's definition of yesh la'ikar and ein la'ikar, with Rashi saying that the definition of yesh la'ikar, ein la'ikar is does it have roots that survive the winter or not, asks Tosfos that all forms of grain are subject to the halachas of Shemitah, even though grain doesn't have roots that survive through the winter. And therefore, because of these questions, Tosfos says that pshat in our Gemara of Tunisa is that Tunisa is a form of sulfur. Sulfur obviously is an item that is not subject to the halakas of Shemitah, and is however used to Avodah Zarah. Other Rishonim have different definitions of what yesh le'ikar and ein le'ikar means. The Meiri gives some pshatim. One pshat that the Meiri gives is that it makes a difference if it has fruits or not. Another pshat that the Meiri suggests, it makes a difference how deep those roots are. Items that have deeper roots are subject to Shemitah. Items that don't have such deep roots are not subject to Shemitah. Tosfos, however, as we just indicated, is of the opinion that it makes a difference if it has roots or doesn't have roots. Something that has roots, that are any form of root, will be subject to Shemitah. Something that doesn't have roots at all is exempt from Shemitah. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask that our Mishnah is teaching us that our Gemara quoted the Mishnah that says that B'noi Suach is subject to Shemitah rule. And as we're about to learn, B'noi Suach is a type of fig. And they ask, why should we think that they're not subject to Shemitah rule, that we need a braisa to teach us that they are subject to Shemitah rule? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that, of course, B'noi Suach are subject to Shemitah rule. What the Gemara here is teaching us is that not only are they subject to Shemitah rule, but they're also subject to the halacha bir, that we know that at a certain point, kol alachai ben asada, that once the fruit is not available in the field, it may not be stored in the house. And that's what the Gemara means here when it speaks about the B'nai Suach. Another pshat that I saw is that the B'nai Suach, interestingly enough, is a type of a is a type of a fruit that the chanota and the lakita are not in the same year. And because the chanota means when it comes to blossom, and lakita means when it's collected. And therefore, since they're not in the same year, it's not clear what year to follow regarding Hilchas Shemitah. And the Brice is teaching us that we follow the year where it had chanota. If it had a chanota in the Shemitah year, it will be subject to the halachas of Shemitah. Chazanish explains that since the Bnei Suach are a fruit that are inferior quality, and maybe the Torah, when it speaks about Shemitah, refers to Ochla, fruits that are really readily and very edible, Bnei Suach will not be in that category, and that's why the Brice has to teach us that still they're subject to the halachas of Shemitah. So indeed, we spoke about the Bnei Suach. Amar Rabba Babachanam Rabbi Yochanan, what are the Bnei Suach? Teina Chaverta, white figs. And Mefarshim explained the reason they're called Bnei Suach is because there is an opinion that the fruits of the Eitz Hadas that Adam Harishon ate from were Bnei Suach, and they of course brought so much pain and suffering to the world. Bas Soichel Olam, pain and suffering came through these fruits to the world. Upetitris, the Mishnah spoke about the stems. What does this mean? As we explained it in the Mishnah, Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Biyochan, Pepetrusayim Shonu. When we speak about this Tribulin and the Bnei Suach being used for Avodah Zarah, they're only used for Avodah Zarah when their stems are still connected to them. Two pshatim that I saw in the Rishonim as to why. One pshat is that the way they were used for Avodah Zarah is that they were hung in front of the Avodah Zarah, and therefore only when they actually have the stems attached to them is there a concern that they will be hung in front of the Avodah Zarah. But if the stems aren't attached, we don't have that concern. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we learned in our Mishnah, the Akum would only use for Avodah Zarah animals that were whole, and so too they only use fruits that were whole. And they considered a fruit missing its stem as a chaser, as a no longer as a whole fruit, and therefore there's no concern that they would be used for Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah spoke about not being allowed to sell Levoina to the Akum. Omer Rab Yitzchak Omer Shimon Malakish, what type of Levoina may not be sold? Levoina Zaka. Levoina Zaka, two pshatim, is either it's white Levoina, that was what was used in the worship of Avodah Zarah, or it's means high-quality Levoina, which was used in the worship of Avodah Zarah. Continues the Gemara, Tana, but we learned in a Braisa, Umekulon Meichel Lehem Chavila. If we sell them a bundle, that is permissible. Ask the Gemara, Kama Chavila, how much is considered a bundle? Pirish Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, En Chavila, Pchus Mishloi Shemana. If it's a large bundle, there we don't have to be concerned that the Akum who's buying this is going to use it for Avodah Zarah. Nobody needs such a large amount for Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's permitted. However, ask the Gemara, V'leichesh, why should we not be concerned, Dilma Ozel or Mazman Lachrino Maktri, that maybe you're selling a bundle to the Akum, and he's not going to use such a large bundle for Avodah Zarah, but perhaps he'll sell off parts of it that to other Akum who will use it for Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, there is an Isra, as we have been discussing, of Lifnei Evil Esita Mishal. We're not allowed to cause the Akum to do something that he's not allowed to. Avodah Zarah is also to an Akum also. However, a Lifnei the Lifnei Lemek Bagdinen. And therefore, even if the Akum who was selling this to will further sell it to another Akum, that's already a situation of Lifnei de Lifnei, and there is no Isra of Lifnei de Lifnei by an Akum. And as the Mefarshim explained, why? Because if we sell the Akum something that he's going to use for Avodah Zarah, so we caused him to do the Avera of Avodah Zarah, and we have an Isra of Lifnei Evil Esita Mechshol. There is no Isra, however, of Lifnei Evil Esita Mechshol by Akum. So therefore, if we sell something to Akum, and even if there is indeed a concern that this Akum will sell it further to an Akum, and be over, and therefore perhaps be over a situation of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol, but there is no issue of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol by Akum, and therefore that concern isn't a necessary concern. In fact, I saw the Paiskim use this concept that there is no Issa of Lifnei Delifnei by Akum. Ramosha in the Igros Moshe has a Shaila where there was a shul in a neighborhood that changed and there are no longer any Jews living in that neighborhood, and the question is that the only option of selling that former synagogue is for a church, and of course we shouldn't sell a shul for a church. Ramosha says, well, what can be done is sell it to an Akum, take a non-Jewish middleman, and then there is no, that would be, perhaps be a heter, because now it's no longer an issue of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol, it's a situation of Lifnei Delifnei. Similarly, I saw a very interesting shaila discussed by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. He says that there was once a Jewish person walking in Russia when it was still a communist country, and he was approached by a person who told him, by a non-Jewish priest, who told him that he has Sforim in his possession, and he asked him and he told him, I will give you the Sforim on condition that when you get back home to your country, you go back to the United States, you should send me different religious articles that I need that obviously were not available in communist Russia. And the question is the Jew, what should this Jew do? So one option, as we just mentioned, the Jew shouldn't send directly to the Akum any items that he'll use for his religious observance. Rather, what he should do is give it to a Akum who'll be the one they'll sell it on, and therefore it'll be a situation of Lifnei Delifnei. However, Rav Zilberstein quotes a psak from the Rav Shul Leib Diskin, who says that even though we have an obligation of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol, and as we've been learning, that obligation of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol even applies towards Akum, that Isser doesn't supersede any other obligations we have. And given in this situation, the Jew has an obligation to be matzel, to save the Sifrei Kodesh that are in the possession of the Akum, the Jew's obligation to save those Sifrei Kodesh supersede his Isser of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol to the Akum, and therefore perhaps it would be mutter. Furthermore, the Paiskim discuss, I saw Rav Ozan, the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi discusses this question. What would be the halacha if a Jew lives or works in a building, then in that building there are the people want to buy a tree for the holidays that the Akum observe, and they're taking it out of the fund that everybody participates in, the Jew. Could the Jew allow that his money be used to buy such a tree? And the Paiskim suggest that perhaps it's mutter for a number of reasons. Number one, it's a situation of Lifnei Delifnei. Furthermore, the tree can be obtained without his participation. We have a situation, as we have been discussing previously, of Eva, and therefore we combine all of these situations, the halacha perhaps would be that it's mutter. Again, if it could be avoided, it certainly be avoided. Even though, as our Gemara clearly indicates, the Isser of Lifnei Ivel Esita Mechshol applies by Akum, Lifnei de Lifnei do not apply by Akum. Machloikis, if Lifnei de Lifnei applies by Jews. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that Lifnei de Lifnei does apply by Yisrael, and therefore we have to be careful to avoid a situation that even if we don't cause directly a Jew to do an Aveira, but in any way, even as remote and indirect as it is, we may not participate. Others say the Lifnei doesn't apply by Jews, but as the Mefarshim point out, it's not that much of a relevant question lahalocha lemaisa. Because even if we will hold the Lifnei doesn't apply by Jews, there's still another concept, and that is the concept of Messiah. For example, the Paiskim say that, let's say, I own, that if a Jew owns a factory that produces garments, and those garments have in them shatness, so one is not allowed to sell those garments to an Akum, to Akum merchant who sells suits. Because even though there obviously is no Lifnei Iver here, an Akum is allowed to wear shatness, an Akum is allowed to sell shatness, but since there's a possibility that this Akum will now sell those suits to Jewish customers who obviously may not wear shatness, so certainly if we hold as an Issa of Lifnei the Lifnei, it's Asur. But even if we don't hold it to Issa of Lifnei the Lifnei, it could be a situation of Messiaya, and the halacha is, should therefore be avoided. Continues the Gemara. V'tana galavin, we discussed not selling a white rooster to Nakam. Omrab Yoina, Omrab Zera, Omrab Zvid. V'ikid amasni, it was Omrab Yoina, Omrab Zera. If somebody said, Tana golami, if Akum came and just asked for a tanagol without mentioning a color at all, the halacha then is muta limka loy tanagolovin. Then you're allowed to sell him a white rooster because he's not looking obviously for religious observance because he didn't ask for a white rooster. Of course, the Ritva points out if we see that the Akum is just doing a haroma, he's just saying it in order, because he knows that if he'll ask for a white rooster, the Jews won't sell him a white rooster, then of course, even if he doesn't mention a color, we may not sell it to him. However, if the Akum says, Tana go lovin' with me, he asks for a white rooster, obviously, Asalim kolay Tana go lovin', we can't sell him a white rooster. Interesting point that the Rajba makes, that even though our Gemara is discussing the difference between a white rooster and not white rooster, and when you're allowed to sell it, and when you're not allowed to sell it, says the Rajba, that was only in the times of Chazal, where the Akum were aware of the rule that we're not allowed to sell or help them or achieve Avodah Zarah, worshipping the Avodah Zarah. But in our time, says the Rajba, in his time already, where the Akum aren't aware of this rule, the Jews may not participate, the halachas will change. Ask the Gemara on Rabbi Yoinus Psak, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Maicha, O Lord Tanagol, Love and Bein Tanagolim. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to sell him a white Tanagol, a white rooster amongst other roosters. Ask the Gemara, Hey Chidomi, exactly what is the situation that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to? Elam the Kaima Tanagol, Love and Lami, Tanagova, Love and Lami, would the Akum specifically ask for a white rooster? Ask the Gemara, in such a situation, afilu bein tanagolim namiloi, you should not be allowed to sell him a white rooster under any circumstances, even if you're selling him other roosters. Elav, what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to? The kama tanagolimi, he didn't specifically ask for a white rooster. But afilu hachi, and yet, Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us, bein tanagolim in, if this rooster is amongst other white roosters, then you're allowed to sell it. Beflei atzmai, but if not, but if it's not alone, loy, you're not allowed to sell it to him. Ula tanakama, and in fact, according to the tanakama, afilu ben tanagolim, even if it's amongst other roosters, nami loy, you're not allowed to sell it. So we see that even both Rabbi Yehuda and Tanagama agree that we can't sell him a white rooster, even if he didn't ask for one. Answers the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, Amar Nachman Yitzchok, the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, Hocha v'mayiskinen, kigoyin de Amar Zeh v'zeh, where he said that he wants to buy a white rooster and a colored rooster. since he specified a white and a colored rooster, the Tanakhama, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Tanakhama says that we have to be concerned that even though he mentioned the colored rooster, but really, he really was just creating a haroma. He knew that we're not going to sell him a white rooster, so he's smart enough to ask for a colored rooster also in order to get his white rooster. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, the fact that he asked for a colored rooster also is an indication that he's not looking for these roosters for Avod Zara, and therefore we could sell him a white rooster also. However, if he didn't mention any color at all, everybody will agree, says Rabbi Yoina, in the name of Rabbi Zeira, that you could sell him a white rooster. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos disagrees with this explanation. He says that if the Akum explicitly asked for a white rooster, whether it was with other roosters or not, it would be usher to sell him a white rooster. And therefore, Tosfos says, Agmar is speaking in a situation where there were several roosters over there. One of the roosters amongst that group was white. And the Akum said to the Jewish seller, I want this one and this one, pointing to a black rooster and a white rooster. Rabbanan say, since he pointed out a white rooster, even though he pointed to a black one also, it will be Aser. Rabbi Yehuda will say it's Mutter. But according to Tosfos, in a case where he mentions explicitly that he's seeking a white rooster, even though he's also saying that he's willing to take another rooster, a colored one, even Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tosfos, would agree that that's Aser. But again, we'll explain the Gemara like Rashi, that it's talking about, the Amish is speaking about a case that he asked for colored and white, and that's the case with Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda disagree. And says the Gemara, in fact, there's a Braisa that concurs that that's the situation that they're discussing. Because Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned in a Braisa, or Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when may we not sell a white rooster to an Akum? Bezmansh Oma Tanagol Zolovin, when he asks for a white rooster, Avalam Oma Zev Zeh, according to the opinion of the Rabbi Yehuda, it would be Mutter. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though we have a rule throughout Shas, that when Rabbi Yehuda begins his statement, he uses the words Amosai, we don't view it as a situation where he's arguing, we view it as a situation that he's just explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama. In our case, clearly, since as we learned in our Mishnah, there is evidently a machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, even though in this price, Rabbi Yehuda uses the word Amosai, it's not to be used as an explanation. Rabbi Yehuda continues to disagree with the Tanakhama. Says the Braisa, Vafila Amar Tanagol Zeh, even a case where he said he wants this white rooster, but it's a case where it's Oivik Chavim Shasa Mishtal Benoi, where the Oivik Chavim is making a banquet, a wedding banquet for his son, or he has an ill person in his house, and therefore it's obvious that that's why he's asking for it, not because he wants it for religious observance, it would be Mutter. The Ritva points out, it can't just be a situation that he comes and tells us that that's what he's, that he comes and tells us that that's what he needs it for. It has to be a situation that we are aware by ourselves that the Akum has this wedding or has this Chayla in his home. Ask the Gemara for Tanan. Haven't we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Ches? Oiv kachavim shasa mishtal benoi. If Oiv kachavim is making a wedding banquet for his son, ena asal el oisa yoyin v'oisa ish bavad, we can't sell him items to that person for that day. However, oisa yoyin v'oisa bavish mi asur. So how can we sell him these items if he has this wedding? Answers the Gemara. The Bryce is not speaking about a wedding. A wedding we can't sell them items for because they used to have their religious observance at the wedding. Amar Yitzchak Mishashia is talking about Betavzik, who is having a banquet, a social banquet, not a wedding. The Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yoina. Rabbi Yoina said that everybody's in agreement where Akum just said he wants a rooster and he didn't say he wants a white rooster, that we're allowed to sell him a white rooster. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, v'sha kol dvarim, other items, stam mutar upirushin asa. And as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, we need to understand what does the Mishnah mean here. My staman or my purushin. What is the case that the Mishnah is referring to? Ilema, if we're going to try to explain, the staman means that he asked for chita chavarta, that he asked for white wheat. And purushin refers to a situation where he asks for white wheat, lavoides kachavim, because I want to use it for avoides zara. Ask the Gemara if that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to. There's no need for our Mishnah to teach us that we're allowed to sell him white wheat. And certainly there's no need to tell us that we're not allowed to sell him wheat if he's white wheat, if he's specifying that he's going to use it for avodah zarah. Because as we've been learning, we're not allowed to help an Akum worship avodah zarah. Ella, how must we understand the Mishnah? Stamam means that he said chitim, they asked for wheat. Purushin, the kamechivar, that he asked for white wheat. And therefore, because he asked for white wheat, it's osur. Mechlal the tanagoyl, a rooster, which is more commonly used for avodah zarah. The difference between wheat and a rooster will be that by rooster, afilu stam namiloi, that even if he didn't specify that he wants a white rooster, it will be usher to sell him a white rooster. So we see, unlike Reb Yoina, that even if he didn't ask for a white rooster, we may not sell him that. Says Mar Amri. We go back to our original interpretation. Stam means that he asked for white wheat. Purushin means that he said lavoides kachavim. The question was that if he's asking for avoides zara, it's obvious that we're not allowed to sell it to him. Says the mother, there is a chiddush here. Purushin it's the chalei. Because we would perhaps think, hi gavra lav lavoides kachavim kabayi. This Akum doesn't need the white wheat for avodah zarah. Wheat isn't used in worshipping avodah zarah. So why do he say it? Says the Gemara, because he is an individual who's mevekud avod b'avodah kachavim. He's very attached to his avodah zarah. V'sover, and he's in the of the impression, k'heichad hu gavra avod bei, just like he's so attached to his avodah zarah, kul ama lami aviki. Everybody is attached to the avodah zarah. And therefore he assumes that if I say that I'm buying this item for avodah zarah, even though he's not, because there is no need for it in avodah zarah, he says it keich delaysfully, tup shatam esu and rishonim. Either he thinks he'll get it for a discount, or he thinks that people will be more prepared to sell it to him. Kama shmalon, that we don't think so, and if he said that he's using it for avodah zarah, we have to assume that it's being used avoid the Zara, and we may not sell it to him. Of course, the question that comes up, that the Mefarshim asks, is that he is approaching a Jewish merchant. Why would he think that a Jewish merchant is likely to sell him something because he says that it's avoid the Zara? That isn't the reason that a Jew would sell him something. So the Mefarshim explained that it's not referring to a situation that he's approaching the Jewish merchant alone. He's coming to a market, and in this market there are Jewish merchants and non-Jewish merchants, and he says that he needs this for avodah zarah. He's saying it in order to get the non-Jewish merchant anxious to sell it to him, and then the Jewish merchant who wants to sell it to him based on what he heard, on what they heard, and that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that we would think perhaps it's mutter, teaches us the Mishnah that actually it's asur. Continues the Gemara. Bayer of Ashi, Tanaga Lovin Ketu Lami. If the Akum comes and asks especially for a white rooster, but he wants it, that it should be a blemished, a damaged rooster, what would be the halacha? Can we sell him a whole white tanagol? If the Gemara's question is only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, or if the Gemara's question is even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Do we say, since he's asking for blemished one, clearly, lav lavaris kacham kabay, he's not asking, he doesn't need it for avodah zara? A dilma, a rumi kamaram. He knows that a Jew won't sell him a whole white rooster, so the way to get it is that he says, I will even take a blemished one, assuming that the Jew doesn't have a blemished one, and that's how he'll get a whole one for his avodah zara. And continues the Gemara. Intim tzloi mahaya rumi kodamaram. If we assume that certainly he's just doing a haroma, what would be the halacha if he said Tanagol lovin lami? He asked for a white one, v'yavle shoch v'shoko, but they gave him a cold one and he was willing to take it, a black one, and he was willing to take it. V'yavle edom v'shoko, and then they gave him a red one and he was willing to take it. Ma'alim kalei lovin. Now, what is the halacha? Could we sell him a white one? Mi amrinin. Since he was willing to take the black one, he took the black one. Adam v'shakel, and he took the red one. It's clear the lav lavoyz kacham kaboy that he's not taking these for avodah zara, because if he was taking them for avodah zara, why would he take a black one and a red one? Adilma, again, we have to be concerned a rume karamim that he's just doing haroma, and the Gemara remains what a teiku. Ramea Omer, af dekel. Ramea says that even if he asks for a dekel and a chatzav and a nicholas may not be sold to the akam. Amalei Rav Chisda Lavimi. Rav Chisda said to Avimi, Gemiri davoides kecham davram avinu. The mesech davoid the zara that Avram Avinu learned, abamei prakim having, was 400 prakim long. Vanan, however, our mesechta, chamish tanan, we only have 5 prakim in it. Yadina, my communion, and we can't understand Pshat. So the Farshim try to understand why was the Masechta Avodah Zarah of Avram Avinu so much longer than ours. So one Pshat that I saw is that, as we know, that Chazal were mispallel, the Anshei Knesset HaGdol were mispallel that the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah should be abolished, and they actually accomplished that request. And therefore, the Masechta Avodah Zarah in the times of Avram Avinu, before the Avodah Zarah was abolished, was so much longer. One pshat. Another pshat is that I saw from the Shem Shmuel, is as we discussed actually at the beginning of the Masechta. Avodah Zarah, throughout Shas, the Gemara refers to Avodah Zarah not only to a situation of avodah zara, but also to different bad characteristics that are considered like avodah zara. Someone who's arrogant, someone who gets angry, someone who doesn't have proper emunah. Avram Avinu was so perfected in his midos that not only, of course, did he not worship avodah zara, but anything that's considered like avodah zara, Avram Avinu avoided. A third pshat that I saw from Rabbi Aaron Cutler is that Rabbi Aaron says that the difference between the Avos and us is that the Avos had a Torah which was a much broader Torah, a much more explicit Torah, versus our Torah, which we have to try to understand and work on understanding. What we have in 5 prakim, Avram had in 400 prakim. Ask the Gemara, my kashlach, what is difficult for you in Masechta Avodah Zarah? She says, Tani, what we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says, Ramei Oimer, Aftekel Tov, Vechatzav, and Nicholas, Oslam, Kalav, Tchavim. And the question is, Dekel Tov, Hudalam, Azmin, we can't sell him a good palm tree. Ha, Dekel Bish, Mizabnina, we'd be allowed to sell to him. But Tanan, aren't we going to learn later in our Masechta, Eimel, Echelam, Chubal Kaka, we can't sell him any attached tree? So that's what was bothering them. Why? How do we understand the Dekel Tav? Amalei, to which he responded, my Dekel Tav, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Dekel Tav? It means Peiros Dekel Tav. It means the fruit of a good date palm. Kenamar of Huna, what Mishnah meant, what the main Mishnah meant in the Mishnah was Peiros Dekel Tav. Chatzov, what is Chatzov? Kaspa. It's a type of, according to some Rishonim, a type of a date. Others say it's a type of a grass. Nicholas, what is Nicholas? Says the Gemara, Kiyosar Avdimi Amar Avcham Be Yosef, Kuryaiti. It's Kuryaiti, which is a type of fruit. Some say it's also a type of a date. Amle Abayla Avdimi, Tanan, Nicholas. We said Nicholas, and we had a problem. Lo yedina mahu. We don't know what Nicholas means. Vat amrit kriyati, and you say it means kriyati. Vloydinan, and we don't know what kriyati is either. So my hanislam, what have you accomplished by telling us that it means kriyati when we don't know what kriyati is either? Amlay, hani lechu. I'll tell you what I accomplished. Tika azlus lahasam. When you go to Hatzisrael, amrit lo Nicholas. If you'll say Nicholas, vloyadi, and they won't know what Nicholas means. Amlay kriyati. If you tell them kriyati, that they may know what it is, the kamachvloch, and they'll show you what karyaiti is. And once they'll show you what karyaiti is, you'll obviously then be able to know what Nicholas is, because Nicholas and karyaiti are one and the same.